Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
From the Crown Plaza in Springfield, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, traveling all this week with the Agricultural Economist on the Illinois Farm Economic Summit. You can still visit with us tomorrow and Friday. We'll be at Brett's Winery. That's in Carlisle, Illinois, tomorrow. And we'll be at the iHotel right there in Champaign County on Friday. And registration is just $75. Walk-ins are welcome. And we open our doors at 7:45. 5 a.m. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Pete Peterson. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana, where they make ethanol. And then a bit later in the program, we'll be joined by Dwight Robb. He is with Farm Business, Farm Management at the U of I, and we'll go through all the things that make a farm a satisfying farm and, well, a financially good and strong farm. Some of the terms that you'll need to know as we end up the tax year. And we talk as well about accrual accounting, that with Dwight Robb from FBFM. And of course, we'll take a look at the weather forecast too. That'll happen with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City as we wrap up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here's the way the numbers finished up, or close to being finished up, in Chicago. I've had to record these a bit early for you today, so not quite at the settlement price, but near the close, the March contract and the corn up about 2 cents at 349.5, May up 2 at 357.75, July at 366.25, up 2, December at 382.5, a penny and 3/4 higher. January beans were down about a penny and a half. That at about 10 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock when we were recording today at 954.5. The March at 965, 1.75 lower. The May at 976.5, down a 1.25. And July at 986.75, a penny and a half lower. November beans at 976, down 0.75 cents. Bean oil for the day, 27 cents lower at 32.95. And the January contract, the bean meal at 316 even, up about 80 cents. Soft red winter wheat, the March contract, 423.25, up 3.75. July at 449.5, up 3. And the hard red July at 451.25, that finished a penny and a half higher for the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the February down $1.50 at $118.95. The January feeders at 141.77.5, 342.5 lower. And February lean hogs at 68.37.5, up 147.5. Here's what some of the other markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures at $58.06 a barrel, up 50 cents. Ethanol futures about 0.2 cents higher at $1.28.09. And heating oil in the January contract, that's diesel fuel, at $1.94.05. They're up about 0.5 cents. Gasoline futures up 3.5 cents at $1.74.5 on the RBOB. That's the wholesale price. And natural gas for the day at $2.62.08, down 6.4 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average about 13 points lower at 24,762. The U.S. dollar at 92.87, down 0.157 for the day. And the gold futures, as we're recording, again, this is about 10 after the hour, 1 o'clock, up $5.70 at $1,266.40 for a troy ounce. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area tonight. Partly cloudy skies, a low of 27 on an east-southeast wind at about 8 miles an hour tomorrow. Thursday tomorrow. Mostly cloudy at a high of 46 degrees. We'll have a southeast wind at 7 to 9. And on Thursday evening, cloudy, a low of 39. Southeast winds at about 6. Friday, cloudy with a high of 45. A north wind on Friday. Man, that'll run at 6 miles an hour. And then Friday night, a chance of rain, some snow before 1 a.m. And then a chance of rain between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. A chance of snow after that. Cloudy with a low of 30 degrees. North-northwest winds at 5 to 10, gusting to 15. Chance of precipitation on Friday evening set at 50%. Saturday, a 30% chance of snowfall before 7. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a high near 35. We'll have more on the weather at the bottom of the half hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're now joined by Pete Peterson. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility out of Logansport, Indiana, where they make ethanol. Hi, Pete, and happy holidays to you.
Hello. Happy to you, too.
Hey, so tell me about basis in your area and what your feeling is for the end of the season.
Basis has been relatively firm, slightly improving around the edges. Right now, we're published at 8 under. Corn movement has slowed down a little bit, kind of a strange year. Later harvest has got people, maybe close enough to New Year, might try to bridge the gap for cash flow reasons. But corn movement has been better, but I think it'll pick up after the New Year.
Your expectations after the end of the New Year for the ethanol plant and its ability to produce it a profit?
We right now, we've been had seen better days, but, it's we're going to continue to produce ethanol. But, right now, it just seems like all the planets are not perfectly lined up for our huge profits, but I think right now we'll just have to look down the road a little bit farther.
Why do you think that's the case? Because the price of corn certainly is cheap enough. You would think ethanol would be a pretty profitable business to be in at the moment.
Oh, right now, like any mass-produced commodity, ethanol is a wash out there. Just a lot of excess product in the pipeline, and it doing what it should as far as the prices are a little bit lower, and we've got a lot of world production ramping up too. So right now we're trying to work through somewhat of an excess. Not too long ago, we had a record production for a day. I think it was in the last couple weeks. So we're just trying to work through that as an industry.
So we've been watching the ethanol grind. And, in fact, you are correct. There were some ethanol single-day records. And the grind has been really good. Will you be slowing down to kind of work your way through the glut of ethanol that is on the marketplace and available?
I think we've done a pretty good job of doing some forward marketing on our ethanol side. So I think we'll be okay. It just there's some other facilities out there, maybe not as positioned as well, that may have a little bit of a soul searching over the next couple months. But right now, it's we're setting pretty good here.
Why was the grind at such a large and fast pace in the first part of this marketing year?
I think like anything, when we have good profits, everybody gets ramped up, and the industry, tries to just take advantage of that. And obviously, with the large crop we had, and with corn prices, you're just going to go out there and continue to do what you do so well, and make an excess.
What are your expectations for the bean market in the next couple of weeks?
Beans right now have been riding the wave of the South American weather, and I think we'll continue with that. But bean movement has been relatively brisk over the last couple of weeks. Cash flow, I think producers are trying to get some money in their pockets for this year yet. But, that's going to be the name of the game of both commodities. It's just the need of cash, and it will make the movement of grain, match up with that need.
And as you look into the farmers' mindset for the coming year in your area, will they be planting more soybean acres, do you think, for the 2018 season?
I think there's always the threat there, but we've seen quite a few acres over the last year or so that went to beans. And there's always a little bit of a downturn on yield back-to-back bean years. But, you have to have a pretty good fall to get everything harvested if you push the envelope a little bit farther on bean acres. And, this year you've seen a lot of hand-wringing and a lot of rough weather did not get bean harvest completed when everybody wanted it to. So that's going to probably be a factor. Right now, economically, beans are still the kings, so we'll just see how far they push the envelope.
Have you and your colleagues thought very much about the January 12 crop production report? That's the final one for the year. The WASD numbers that will come out, and the grain stocks figures, and what you'll be watching mostly?
Yes, grain stocks numbers. And, when you're looking at a carryover on corn in particular, over 2 billion bushels, I kind of liken it to either drowning in 6 feet of water or 10 feet of water. We just have way too much of the product. And You know, the big change we've seen in yield per acre that happened on the November report was a huge move. We didn't see a single thing really change except for maybe some increased ethanol demand on the December report. But the January numbers at this point we're hoping to be somewhat maybe nothing more than changing the date from December just to maybe keep some stability in this marketplace. But we're preparing ourselves to I guess, the reality of this being a maybe even a larger crop than we've seen already.
That would be something to watch. And how much of a downside risk do you think it is for corn and soybeans?
I'm not bearish of putting corn with a 2 in front of it, but I think we could push this thing down another 20 cents or so on the corn side at least. And beans, you know, they run extremes, but just seems like corn beans over the last few years have been very, very resilient. And, you know, a dollar swing on beans is seems like a hiccup anymore, but that potential is there. But it just seems like South American weather is not not perfect. They've been getting some rains, but that will be the key factor. The report on the bean side may have a shelf life of about 20 minutes.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us for the day.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Pete Peterson. He is with the Andersons. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason here at the Crown Plaza in Springfield with the Illinois Farm Economics Summit. Still time to come visit with us. We'll be in southern Illinois at Carlisle at Breath's Winery there tomorrow morning and on Friday at the I Hotel in Champaign County. If you have not registered, no worries. You can come and visit with us. The cost is just $75. Registration opens at 7:45 a.m. One of the people that's up front to talk to the producers and bankers and the rest of the folks that are in the audience is Dwight Robb. He is with the Farm Business Farm Management Unit across the state of Illinois and housed right there in Mumford Hall with me. Thanks for going on the road with us this week. I want to talk to you a little bit about end of the year and tax preparations and some of the things you discussed with farmers and bankers today. Let's start with the difference between accrual and cash accounting on the farm. What do those two items mean and how are they defined?
Well, I won't say they're opposites, Todd, but there certainly are different concepts. So cash is exactly that. It's cash. The accrual concept looks at the changes in inventory value from 1 year to the next, would recognize prepaid expenses that you might have made. For example, we might be making some prepaid expenses here in December of 17 for the 18 year. An accrual accounting concept would make sure that those expenses are charged against 18's income, not against 17's income. So accrual accounting is a little bit more of a process of matching up the income and the expenses used to produce that income, no matter what accounting period they might have been paid in, what year they might have been paid in. So it's just a little bit different concept, but it does require that we collect a little bit more financial information. In my way of thinking, that that accrual accounting information, if you were to put it into a container, it might be more like a bushel basket size container of information that we collect. To do a cash income statement, which would be akin to a Schedule F, I'd probably need about a coffee cup's worth of information out of that bushel basket. So the information that's needed to do a good accrual income statement is a much more comprehensive set of financial information than just what you would use for cash for a Schedule F.
And so if I have some of the understanding correctly, the Schedule F, which is a tax form for the farm, gives you an idea of what the government thinks you made for the year. And the accrual method will give you an idea of what you actually made for the year, roughly speaking, for that crop year. So you take everything you raised in 2016, for instance, and you put all the expenses against it. But you may not have all of that income in 2016. There may be some income that came in 2017. There may be expenses that were paid in 2015. And you really get a better idea of how the farm performed via the accrual method.
By all means, Todd. Yeah, that accrual income measure of of financial earnings from the farm is a much better representation of what happened on the farm, good or bad. You know, good incomes or bad incomes, it's a much better measure of income on the farm than a Schedule F would. Schedule F's manipulates probably not the right word to use, Todd, but if we're shooting for to keep somebody into a tax bracket, you know, we can probably advance income or delay income or prepay things to get somebody at a tax situation where they want to be if we want to aim for the top of a 15% tax bracket or any one of the tax brackets. With the accrual side of things, it just happens like it happens, and it's a much better measure of income.
Yeah, and I should be clear to clarify. So manipulate is kind of a rough word, but roughly speaking, it means that for the farm for next year, they may be able to prepay some of their expenses in this calendar year so that they are on an expense for this tax year, or they may be able to delay getting an income statement from the grain elevator, for instance, to next year, so they don't have the income in this year, and they move some income around, but the payments are made in the actual calendar year. So you're just manipulate, roughly speaking, but you're just moving some income around to be more tax efficient.
And the thing to be careful about that, Todd, you are right, but the thing to be careful about that is if I have a mindset that says I want to pay no tax or low tax, so I'm delaying my crop sales into the next year, and I am prepaying next year's expenses this year so that I can get to that low tax, no tax situation, all I'm doing is putting it off. All I'm doing is putting it off and creating maybe a bigger headache for another day.
What do you tell producers for the sessions this week? What's your primary goal with them?
Two parts to that, Todd. One relates back to the accrual income and being able to measure accrual incomes and know how that income affects your balance sheet as well. Those earnings accumulate on your balance sheet, right? They accumulate on your balance sheet. So that's a little bit more of the long-term picture of the message for today. The other part is, the shorter-term message is, know what your working capital is. Know how your working capital's changed. Know what it was last year and the year before that so that you can use those as measures of how to assess what your working capital is here at the end of 2017. So working capital and current ratios are very much short-term things that affect the next year in terms of financial things on the farm. And that's kind of the gas in the tank. Those are the things that that are kind of front and center. So there's the short-term picture of looking at working capital, current ratios, and what that liquidity is on the farm, while at the same time not losing sight of debt-to-asset ratios and knowing where the bigger-term, longer-term picture is for your farm and operation as well.
We better define a couple of those terms. What is working capital?
Working capital is nothing more than after you've got your balance sheet done, look at your current assets, and subtract your current liabilities. The difference between those two is your working capital.
And the current ratio?
Current ratio is just a little bit different math on that. It's your current assets divided by your current liabilities. So it shows them relative to each other. So a current ratio is going to be, you'll get a number that's going to be a 1.5 or a 2 or a 2.5. You're going to get a number that's relative to your liabilities. Working capital is still going to be a dollar amount.
So in each of those, what standard would you use to say I'm doing well? What standard for I'm not doing so great?
For current ratios, if your current ratio gets close to 1, that means your current liabilities are about the same as your current assets. That's probably not where you want to be, and that would certainly not be where your lender would want you to be. Current ratios closer to 2. Would be much better. In some cases, you know, we've been back to 2012 when we had that, that good financial year because of crop insurance that came in. And we had current ratios that were on average in the 3 range. So those were very good. So I would say that your metrics are going to be somewhere in a range of from 1 to 2 are things that are going to be normal and going to be expected. Closer to 2 is lots better than closer to 1. On working capital, I would take working capital and divide that by the number of acres, of operator acres that you have to get a better metric for that. So take working capital, so current assets minus current liabilities, divide that number by the number of acres, and if that number is over $200 per acre, that's probably a good place to be. If it's less than $100 per acre, we probably need to start looking to see where we might be able to generate some more working capital.
based on the FBFM records, and let me know how many of those are in the state, for, let's just do with commodity agriculture, corn and soybean, cash grain farms, what's the financial position of those farms today, and how does that compare to recent years?
The balance sheet, the financial picture, is still pretty solid. There's lots of balance sheets that are still in very good shape. A lot of our balance sheets are underpinned by asset values, and the big part of those asset values are land values. Slow to change, slow to shift, so balance sheets still look good. Kind of our the paradox or the odd part where you say these things, two things don't fit together, is to have balance sheets still look as good as they do while we still have the liquidity problems that we do today because of low prices and low earnings. So those two things kind of work in opposition of each other, but the low earnings and our liquidity challenges will have an impact on our balance sheet over time. They certainly will.
There's no easy fix to this.
There is no easy fix to this. If there's fixes to this, it's not, there's not a silver bullet in here anywhere. It's if you have assets, be they farm assets or non-farm assets, that aren't working for you, sell them, turn them into cash. If we need to consider picking up some off-farm income, whether that be somebody go back to work, or there's another business, those are ways to generate earnings, to generate some of that cash flow. So there's no one-size-fits-all answer to this.
Family living expenses are tough to talk about, especially once you've begun to spend. It's hard to stop.
By all means. This is a little bit like that first car that I bought that had power window lifts and power door locks on it. We're never going back to rolling the windows up and down all by ourselves anymore. So once you get used to that standard of living, it's pretty hard to rein that in. So they're sticky on the downside. But I forget whose commercial it was, Todd. The easiest money to earn is the money you don't spend. And so there's a little bit of that. So if we need to consider family living expense, we need to consider family living expense because those get paid for out of farm earnings as well.
How do folks think about joining FBFM and why should they?
Oh, FBFM provides a myriad of services to farms across the state of Illinois. Our numbers member about 5,700 across the state of Illinois right now. We have a staff of 65 that serve those folks. We help them keep a good set of records. We help them prepare those balance sheets and income statements and then use those documents to manage their farm to suit the lifestyle that they're living and for the greatest profitability. We're all about creating after-tax net worth increases, so we're not afraid to pay a little bit of income tax if we need to pay income tax. We would love to work with other operations if they're out there. I would encourage them to visit our website or call our office if they have questions about that.
What's the website address?
That website would be www.fbfm.org, or my office number, Todd, is 217-333-5511.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Dwight.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Dwight Robb. He is with the farm business, farm management folks here in the state of Illinois and based in Mumford Hall.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Do visit us tomorrow in Carlisle at Brett's Winery if you'd like, or you can drop by on Friday morning at the I Hotel in Champaign County to join us for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. This cost is $75 for your walk-ins, and registration opens each day at 7:45 a.m. When we come back, we'll talk about the weather forecast. That with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Again, this is Illinois Public Media, the Closing Market Report. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org.
It's National Rum Punch Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1819, Seth Boynton was issued the first patent for manufacture of patent leather in the U.S. Boynton is also remembered for a host of other inventions, including a nail-making machine and a hybrid strawberry. In 1842, Sir James Dewar was born. A British chemist and physicist. He invented the Dewar flask, the original thermos bottle. His design incorporated a double-walled flask. He created a vacuum between two silvered layers of steel or glass. In 1859, George B. Simpson patented the electric range. He called his invention an electroheater. In 1878, Uptown Sinclair was born. His novel, The Jungle, was a detailed horror story about the conditions in the meatpacking industry of the time in Chicago. It led to extensive reforms. In 1888, David Marin was born, an American pathologist. His research on the treatment of goiters with iodine led to the iodizing of table salt. And in 1960, Ernest Goodpasture died, a research scientist. He used chick embryos in designing the first practical method for developing uncontaminated viruses, which made possible the mass production of vaccines for diseases such as smallpox and influenza. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. Be sure to join us tomorrow at the Illinois Farm Economic Summit, or on Friday. Tomorrow we'll be in Carlisle at Brett's Winery, and on Friday we'll be at the I Hotel. Registration is $75. Walk-ins are welcome. We open the doors at 7:45 a.m. Drew Lerner is now here. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hey, Drew, thanks so much for being with us, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas indeed. I think that we're going to be able to have some good travel weather coming up before too long. We'll talk about that later, I guess.
Yeah, well, let's not start there, but rather in Argentina, because, well, we're in the business of agriculture, so we want to know whether the rainfall is in or out of the forecast.
Well, it looks like it is in the forecast. The question is how far in is it? We are going to see good rainfall distributions across Argentina from Thursday, that's tomorrow, all the way into Saturday. Everybody should get impacted by rain at one time or another. The question is how good will it be? Will it soak down deep into the ground or leave us a little bit lacking on moisture? And I think we're going to have a little bit of both, to be honest with you. Some of those interior northern areas may have a tough time getting the kind of rain they need to bolster the soil moisture down below the top few inches of soil. We will see a fair amount of rain in some locations. Certainly the heart of the corn and soybean producing area, I think, will do relatively well. So I don't think there's much incentive for a widespread serious issue here, but some of those northern fringes of crop country will continue to need some additional follow-up rain. There is another system that comes along at the end of next week, more likely the following weekend. This would be New Year's weekend. And we would probably see another round of showers and thunderstorms. I do think the models are just a little too aggressive with rain on that as well. So we'll have some scattered showers, but I'm not convinced, again, that it will be a big soaking for that period of time.
And if this begins to fix some of the problems there, does that mean South America as a whole is in pretty good shape for the growing season?
Yeah, I really do think that that's the case. Certainly Brazil's in great shape, and the areas that have been drying down recently in the south are going to get some favorable rainfall here over the coming week. And that leaves Argentina really as the biggest area of concern outside of maybe the far northeast corner of Brazil. But just like we've said before, that northeast area just isn't a huge contributor to the overall bottom line for Brazil. So definitely South America at this point in time doesn't look too bad, although it is very important to keep in mind that we still have a very serious dryness issue underway today in Argentina, especially the north half of the production region. But if we get the rain tomorrow into Saturday, it'll be a much better scenario, but still one that has to be monitored additionally.
And finally, here in the United States, white Christmas and then cold weather.
Yeah, certainly is going to be cold, that's for sure. The question on the white Christmas business is whether or not we're going to get the snow to occur at the right time to qualify for such a thing. I think it's probably going to happen after Christmas as we go into the second half of next week and more likely New Year's weekend. I think we'll have a big storm system moving through parts of the Midwest, and that will leave us with some snow. But the holiday itself, the Christmas holiday coming up, I don't think we're going to have to worry about much snow. A little bit of snow in the Great Lakes region, but whatever falls across parts of the region shouldn't be a big travel issue, at least not for that particular holiday. We'll watch real closely for the latter part of next week, though.
We'll talk with you not next week, but in the first week of January next time around. Thanks so much, Drew.
You bet. Have a great holiday.
You too. That's Drew Lerner with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.